Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Come on now, church. Let's celebrate all of the great things that God is doing. All of you in the upper venue, all you watching by line, God is good. Come on, if you really, 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 really love him, yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A couple of brief announcements before we get into the word. Many of you know me to be a good husband because I'm obedient to the things my wife tells me to do. I know that somewhere in the word of common sense. But this week, Friday and Saturday, we'll be having our Ladies Loving Nashville Conference, which is not just about you guys receiving something, but delivering something to the underserved in our city. There will be people there who need clothes, food. There are homeless people. We're just bringing them in. We're going to have showers and different things. But we're not doing a conference separate from them. We're doing a conference with them. And the same things we give ourselves, we're giving to them, plus some meals and so forth. There will be judges there to expunge criminal records so people can get jobs. So I think, ladies of this house, that you all should go to ladieslovingnashville.com. Please sign up. Please attend. Please do not let this moment pass you by. Even if you don't know what you should do, register. Be a part of it and fight for her. Can I get a good amen? And thank you, honey, for all of your hard work that you're doing. And I'd like to thank myself for going without meals during this season. God bless me. Hallelujah. Did I say that out loud? Because that was internal, and it just came out. All right. how many enjoyed we're here Wednesday night for our back-to-school bash last Wednesday? Pretty amazing. It was great. Don't let those claps be an indication. It was jam-packed outside. We had food, fun, fellowship. Chris Sanders, the former Titan, did a marvelous job of delivering the word. It was just an excellent event. And especially for those of you who have not yet done a meal with a family that doesn't look like yours, here's a quick cheat sheet that's coming up this Wednesday. Because some of y'all figuring out, I just don't know how to find me a person. So this is your cheat sheet. We're going to have, starting at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, our We Are Family meal. It's going to be an international. It's going to be a big international family night celebration. We'll have food before the meal. We're going to have Filipino barbecue. It's good. I've been there. If you've not been to the Philippines, they roast everything. I looked at that thing when we first got to the Philippines. I said, what is that, a horse? I thought it wasn't, but it didn't look horses. Anyway, that's not a word, but it was funny. African food, Hispanic food. We're going to have sushi. Y'all like sushi? Well, I guess the world has changed. Used to just be fried chicken at church. Now it's sushi at church. That's it. Praise God. That is elevated. Y'all know we're not going to start serving that here. You got to come for the family night to get that. All right, great. We want you to dress up. We want you to dress in any of your ethnic clothes. And you can't shut me down, because sometimes I'll try on the ethnic clothes that you've, you know, given to me or whatever. And my wife said, you can't wear that. I said, but guess what? Wednesday, I can wear it, and I'm going to wear it. Come in your ethnic clothes. I'll be in mine. All right. Now, let's pray, and we're going to get into the word. Father, we thank you so much for all you've done and all you're doing. I pray, God, that you will begin to elevate us in our ability to understand and comprehend what thus saith the Lord. Whatever we couldn't get before, let us have the ability to get it now. Give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. Now, God, think through my mind. Speak through my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer, and every glad heart say amen. Amen. All right, we're on sermon 2 of our We Are Family series. Every woman last Sunday got liberated. Found out that when God created woman, he created her as an equal opposite. Remember, he didn't take her from the forehead. He didn't take her from the baby toe. because she would have stayed in those positions. He took a rib to demonstrate the partnership between man and woman, and that they're equal opposites. That doesn't mean they didn't have different roles and different responsibilities. That means God loved them equally and empowered them with the same mission. They were going in the same direction. And we discovered that this is the foundation of the family, and any other thing that impedes upon what God has done through one male and one female being united under his word will bring conflict. But we left off there, and the last scripture we gave was they were naked and unashamed. When ashamed to be who they were, they accepted their identities from Christ and were happy with it. Now, if we were to continue in Genesis, we would find out when he told them, for this cause you can leave your father and mother and cleave or become one in intimate relations with your wife, they found themselves in front of a tree that God told them not to eat. They ate from the tree. He said, the day you eat, you shall surely die. What he meant was they'll be eternally separated from God. So the family that we defined last week has a problem. Sin caused them to be separate. What was the sin? Simple. It was real easy. It was just simple disobedience. And it caused them to. But I'm going to define the root of the problem, and then I'm going to give you the solution. Now, here's the root of the problem. And every man in this room needs to know where this problem comes from. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. No, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let the Bible say it. Genesis 3, verse 17. And don't hate me. Hate the Bible when you hear this. And to Adam, he said, because you listen to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to, you should not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because you listen to her. Men, there's where our problem starts. Now, y'all, lady, y'all can't get mad. I liberated you last week. Now, this week, take your punishment. No, just... Adam failed to cover. Eve failed to listen. Adam failed to listen to God. They were both just equally wrong, but they brought problem. Then the Bible gives judgment, and then the Bible gives a solution. I'm going to send someone, the seed of woman, who's going to have the ability to crush the head of the enemy who separated us through deceit. And you're his heel, talking about Jesus, would be bruised. But the answer to the family breach is Jesus. But let me help you understand that. I'm going to show it to you. I'm not going to show it to you because I'm going to get sidetracked. It was fun. Maybe next time. The breach ends with Jesus. The Bible calls him the way, the truth, and the life. If you could believe in him, you'll have a restored natural family. You'll have a restored spiritual family. And I'm going to show you this. Three things. One, that's your problem, see. But here's the three things. In order to get your family fixed, you must believe he can do it and he wants to do it. And you must believe that he's not just Savior, but he's Lord. You can't just take the benefits without the responsibility. Number two, once you believe, you have the opportunity to belong to his family. You have the right to belong to his family, to his kingdom, to his church, and with one another. You'll find that instead of the isolation of loneliness, which is plaguing one out of three Americans, you will find that when you are united with Christ, you get rid of the crisis of loneliness. And then three, everybody wants some love. Everybody needs some love. But you understand that you be loved when you practice belonging to Christ. You receive love and you're able to give love. So you believe, you belong, and then you can know that you're beloved. And those are the points that we're going to hit. Let me contextualize all of this by giving you a story. See, I was that Christian, I was that quote-unquote Christian who named the title Christian, but I didn't live the life that backed up what I said. And the worst thing about it is I failed to realize that I didn't live the life anymore, because everybody around me seemed to have the same standard, low. And because the standard was low, I always thought, well, I can get in because I'm at least stronger than all these Gentiles I'm walking with. So one day I was at the house of a family I love, because I came from a broken family, one where my dad at 5 years old kind of lost his mind, became abusive. So he was absent, my natural father. When I got a stepfather, he was silent. So basically, whenever I hear the term family or father, I don't even think about the father, because I don't know any natural benefits with the current, that the old mindset I had that I was getting. I wasn't able to put it someplace of value. So I was always looking for another family. The family I found was the Peterson family. Peterson family had everything intact. One night I was over at Miss Peterson's house with her sons, and several of us were getting together. We were in the 12th grade. To go to a party. Wasn't a birthday party. More like a club, teen club. I just don't want y'all seeing me in a club setting. I want you to imagine me looking nice and, you know, white holy pants. And that's just, the image just left, I'm sure. But I was going to a party, and Miss Peterson said, I would like to pray for you guys before you go to the party. And I was naive enough to say, sure. Why not? We held hands. Miss Peterson began to pray. And the prayer went something like this. Lord, you know they're off. The start of that thing was going wrong for me. And Lord, and she got worse. I don't want them to die tonight, but if they die, Lord, die, I'm going to the party. If they die tonight, Lord, can you please send somebody to let them know that you are not just their Savior, but you can be the Lord of their life before they leave this planet and eternally separated from you in hellfire. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Oh, Miss Peterson, I don't want to come to your house no more. Her sons left to the party, but I was so messed up, I stayed all night with Miss Peterson. And Miss Peterson helped me understand that I was a nominal Christian. I was I had a form of godliness, but I denied the power. I could play the part. I could say the part. I could actually do activities with the part. But in my heart, Christ was not separated as not just Savior. He wasn't Lord. He wasn't the boss. He wasn't the ruler. He was just the guy that I was taking benefits and pleasures from, but I didn't want to take orders from. But I didn't know it until she challenged me that night. And she said something that people don't like for you to say this to them, because it's judgmental. I don't practice saying it to people, and I couldn't believe Miss Peterson said it. She said, baby, I want you to know you're not a Christian. I said, Mother Peterson, I sing in the choir. You're not going to tell me they only let people who save sing in the choir. She said, you have a revelation of who he is without submission to who he is. And this where my problem was, the same problem Adam had, the same problem Eve had, the same problem we're all born. We're born in sin, shaping iniquity. We're born with a problem that we're estranged from God, the Heavenly Father. And because the breakdown of the Father in all of the generations is so profound, we don't even know to look for him or to search for him. We can't find out what's wrong with us. But everybody without a father, statistically, I'm talking about a nuclear family. This is not to make you feel bad. This is to give you statistics. You are more likely to be a failure in life or do the things that are deviant than to do the things that are good. What things do I mean? You are 7 times more likely to be promiscuous. And the list goes on. I won't even bore you with the list, but the problem is that breach and that breakdown And now God is saying to restore it, Jesus has come that you can be family with God all over again. That's John 17, verse 20. Here we go. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. This is Jesus close to the point of his death. We call it the high priestly prayer. This is the moment where he's giving his final thoughts before he goes through his passion. This is the moment where not long ago he has just told Peter, you know you're going to deny me. You know all of y'all going to leave me. He's praying for himself that the will of God be done, that he be glorified with God like he was before he got to the planet. He's praying that God would keep his disciples in the world. And the next thing he does is pray for all of us who are not them, who will learn to love Jesus Christ because of the message of the gospel that they preach. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me before Jesus went to the cross, he was thinking about me? Jesus was not just living in the time he was, but he was living thinking about all these thousands of years later, you and I will come, but the standard wouldn't change for you and I. Belief. Pray for those who will believe. Believe what? That if they confess with their mouth, Jesus is Lord. Not Savior, but Lord. Not just Savior, but Supreme Ruler, Boss, Governor, the guy in control, the guy who can call the shots and tell you what to do and when to do it and how to do it, what to dream, what to think, where to go to school, where to go find. Not control if you, should I go left? Should I go right? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about giving you the overall vision for your life and the standards for morality for your life and set things in order. He gets to do that. If thou shalt confess with your mouth, this is Romans 10:9, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe, but with the mouth confession is made that proves you're saved. In other words, your confession is, he's the one true God. He was really born of a virgin. He really lived a sinless life. He really laid down his life to redeem. He really was just and I was unjust. We really did make an exchange. He really did impute my sin on him. The sin of the world was laid on him that I might become the righteousness of God. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, I believe they shall be saved. That the Bible says, what is eternal life but to know God? My way to know God is through Jesus Christ. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. See, I believe like Abraham who believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. Belief. I don't believe like the devils believe, according to James 2. The Bible said the devils, who know more than you, who see more than you, they can see everything. Yet their belief does not translate into salvation. Their emotions, they see, they believe, they tremble, but they're not saved. So just because you get in church, you know, and the worship is good and you get that tingle, you know, that shoots across you like, ooh, Jesus. You don't know what's happening. He's touching you a little bit. You feel emotional. You might want to cry. You might feel extreme joy. And you go all through these ups and downs. That is good, but not good enough. It's just what the devils have. This belief must be, I believe everything. That there's no other name given among men whereby you can be saved except the name of Jesus. You're being too mean, Pastor James. No, I'm just reading the book. Plus, I got to submit to the same book when I get down off of here. They don't pay you extra to say the hard stuff. Or do they? Any elders can get in their bonus. I'm not opposed. Okay. Believe. But here it is. If you believe, you get the privilege to belong. Got to believe. You got to believe in something's core values before they'll let you in. You've got to believe in what your fraternity or sorority believes in before you can get in. You have to believe, what is that called, the Hippocratic Oath? For the medical field? See? You got to believe it before they let you in. There's a process where you've got to say yes, and then you can belong. John 21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I are one. I am in you, that they may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 22, I have given them glory, the glory that you gave me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Wait a minute. When you believe, you get to be one with one another. But before you're one with one another, you get to be one with God, like Jesus and the Father are one. And the Bible says everything was given to him. You get everything he has. He gets everything you have, and you one. You see, let's just look for a moment at the family relationship or the relationship of God himself in the mystery of the Trinity. This means it's a mystery because, you know, your finite mind cannot totally comprehend it, but we can narrow it down to what it is. We believe in one God eternally existing in three persons. We're not modalist, which believe in one God who transforms himself into other attributes of God at will. So that would be Jesus is on earth, but then he goes back in heaven and he's the Father and talks to himself back and forth. But you know, Daddy, it's tough down here. And he goes back up, son, I know. No. When the Bible says when Jesus was baptized and the heavens opened up and he looked down and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Both are God, distinctly a person, but yet the scripture says they're one. It's mysterious, but that's what it is. We are not tritheist, meaning we think there's three distinct gods. There's God. There's God, and he's a father to us. No. We believe in one God eternally existing in three persons. But why is he this important? Because he's showing you what belonging looks like. He's showing you what family looks like. He tells you, go be one with your spouse. Lord, I pray that they think the same thing, be of the same mind, be of the same judgment. He said, where the unity command. He's always trying to bring us together to belong. But this belonging is not superficial. Oh, yeah, we go to the same church, but I don't like them. Yeah, but, you know, those type of Christians. No, he's trying to get humanity to come together. That's why using our ethnic differences as reasons why we don't harmonize is ridiculous. That's why it's unacceptable for the 10 o'clock on Sunday morning to be the most segregated hour in America. Not when God has laid down his life to make us a family of Latinos, of Asians, of Africans, of African Americans. He's bringing us all together to be one. Acts 17 says, from one ethnos, he's made all ethnicities of men and given them their exact place of their habitation. He did this so that we would seek him and reach out to him. Your difference has been given to you, so you'll seek God. The reason when you look different than somebody else and you don't know how to relate, he said, you can do it by looking to me. And you're going to learn something about me. And if you believe in me, I want you to belong to them. And you don't find what's different. You find what's the same and you build from there. You have a need to belong, not a need to separate. But humanity makes a list. This is why I'm not going to be their friend. And this is why I don't like them. And look at that. That's why in my house, it's not appropriate to say, Because I'm African American, all I have to give you analogy is African American. So I don't have another one. So we don't say, you know how the white people are. That would be an unacceptable statement in my house. Well, how are they? They're good humans. Now, what makes white people, black people, Latinos, and others, what makes them have distinction is that we hang around people most similar to us, then we develop through environment behaviors and characteristics that are not necessarily the characteristics and behaviors of humanity, but of a culture or mindset that you've been around. You're one blood. You belong. You don't have to be separate. When you believe, it ends your separation. You don't say, well, you know, most people in this ethnic group, they Democrats. Most people in this ethnic group, they Republicans. Y'all silent because that's what you said. I'm just reading your mind through the power of the spirit, not the psyche. Last point. If you do this, Scripture transitioned us from belonging to this. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Wait a minute. Because we belong to him and he belongs to us and he belongs to the Father and we belong to each other, there's something about love that you cannot know unless belonging happens. There's something that was broken in me, James Lowe, when my natural father was not around, I couldn't comprehend love. When my stepfather was silent, I could not comprehend love. But when the spiritual fathers came in and gave me some spiritual clarity and some spiritual solutions, then the breach is filled through Jesus, and now I can belong and redefine the past and start having a great present and a future. Because now I understand that I was loved by God. Even if humans have failed me, I'm loved by God. And that love is so powerful. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity, but love, power, and a sound mind. I don't have to fear a breakdown. I got a breakthrough once I get a revelation of who he is. I can belong. And you know, this belonging lets me know I have access to love because God is love and love is God. Father, I want those who you've given me to be with me where I am. In other words, Jesus is saying, everything I have, and you put all things under my feet, you've given me all things. Jesus is saying, Lord, everything I have, I want them to have. Now, you know the way I love and you love is not like that. That's what a prenup is about. Baby, I love you, but I want you to have this, and if it go wrong, I got this. God is defining how love should go. He don't have a prenup. He all in. You can hurt me. See, love is about being vulnerable. You can't get around it. I don't want to take no chance. Chance of what? Either God's got you or God's going to bring you through. But you still got to take a chance of love. And you need to belong, and then you know how to behave and be loved. Everything I have. We're going to rule and reign with him in the next life based on our faithfulness and connection to him in this life. He said, this is eternal life, to know the Father or to be in relationship with the Father. What is eternal life? To be in relationship with the Father. What is eternal life? To be in relationship with the Father. And then you know love. And to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world. The scripture says, for whom he foreknew, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, God knows you. God has appointed you to be his spiritual son and daughter, not just his creation. God doesn't have a special group of people that he's saying, you can be with me and they can't. He's offering to every man, whosoever call on the name of the Lord, to believe. Then belong and get all his beloved benefits. When you love somebody, you'll give them everything. not some things. Debbie, see, it's on record. So if we end up, let's say, we're not going to get divorced, but we end up in divorce court, this tape can be played. She has all my stuff. But I got all her stuff, too. I got your whole catalog, girl. She's got it all. Not some. That's the love. I don't know what she'll do. She doesn't know what I'll do. She's trying to do her best. I'm trying to do my best. But it's a bunch of unknowns. But I'm not trusting in her alone, looking to her. She looking to me. We're looking to him for the foundation of our family. Verse 26, this last verse. And I have made you known to them, and you will continue to make, and I will continue to, let me start. 26, I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. I mean, there it is. The world will become a better place when the Christians love each other. We have no one to complain to, nothing to complain about. If you believe, act like you belong to what you believe in, the church. Act like you're the bride of Christ. Stop being moved by everything. Just moved by every newsreel. Moved. Distraught. Destroyed. Just believe, belong, and be loved. Guess what? You know why I wanted to be over to Peterson House? Because there was love there all the time. It wasn't that it was love in my house. They just had the mom and the daddy and everything. I wanted that picture. I was hungry for it. Love there all the time. And it was healing. You know why you need to be with God? Because restored relationship with God the Father gives you an inheritance with God the Son forever. Stand to your feet. You know, ministry team, you can come down. You know, I was preparing this message, and I got to this point, and a song came to my spirit. And simply, baby, grab that mic. You'll do better. I just want you to just let a line of this song be spoken to your spirit before I dismiss you. You don't know the song.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
Just bow your head and reflect.
Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he
point the message or the music has stirred your heart to realize there's more to Jesus and I need more of him. You may have come today just to do something, but you found out that God did something inside of you. He gave you a revelation that he's real and he's really in love with you. And him being declared as Lord of your life is not about making your life worse, but better. And on the count of three, I'm going to give you an opportunity with every eye closed, every head bowed, nobody looking in the room but me. I don't want anybody looking but me. But if for the first time, or maybe in a renewed way, you realize that you need Jesus, and you believe in him, and now you want to belong to him, get the love from God the Father, Then I'm going to have you raise your hand up and put it down quickly when I count to three. And I'm not going to make you come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I want to pray for you. If you fit that description, when I count three, I want you to put your hand up and put it down. One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. I see all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see all those hands. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. See it in the upper venue. I saw that. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put them down. I would like everybody to repeat this prayer after me who wants to. Those who believe or those who are working toward belief. Let's confess this online in upper venue. Let's confess it all together. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life for the rest of my life. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I need you a savior. I believe you'd live for me. You'd die for me. And that God raised you from the dead. And with this confession from my heart, you're Lord of my life. And I'm saved and beloved. And I thank you. If you said that sincerely all over this room, let us give God a round of applause for all he's done. More could he do. I'm going to say a dismissal prayer, but I'm going to have Debbie sing that one more time, and it doesn't matter. Some of you may want to come down and get prayer for anything, whatever it is. And after the conclusion of that little line, she'll sing, we'll all be dismissed in Jesus' name. Sing it one more time. So very much. We love you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Give God a round of applause. See you on Wednesday night for our international time of family. Love you. Greet somebody on your way out. Thank the children's workers. Any prayer needs whatsoever, we're down here for you. Any prayer needs whatsoever.